He says that our lifestyle is more a matter of uncovering, through our sensitivity to life, the natural movement of our own being. So instead of thinking of routine as this rigid way of living, we must think of it as living creatively, because we must live creatively in order to be truly healthy and happy. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Simply Ayurveda, a place where we learn how to apply Ayurveda's ancient wisdom into our modern everyday lives. I am your host and Ayurvedic counselor, Julia, and today we are going to talk about one of my favorite subjects in Ayurveda, and that is the art of daily ritual. On this podcast, we talk a lot about food, what we eat, and how important our digestion is to our overall health. We know the importance of having an appropriate diet that is in tune with our constitution. We know the importance of adjusting the foods we eat based on the season and where we live. And we've also talked about the importance of how we eat and making sure that we're being present and mindful to help with proper digestion. And in Ayurveda, when we refer to our diet, it's not only the foods that we eat. Our diet includes anything and everything that we take in to nourish our body and mind. And that includes the food and water that we take in, the quality of our breath, our emotions, and also what we feed our senses. So everything that we're watching, listening to, who we're engaging with. So Ayurveda looks at everything. That's what makes it a holistic science, because it considers every single factor that influences our physical, mental, and emotional experiences, therefore influencing our energy and our doshas. So if we have all this focus on our diet and our digestion, this also includes the way that we live our lives. And some diseases just cannot be changed until we change how we live. This is where Dinacharya comes in Ayurveda. Dinacharya is a Sanskrit word made up of dina, meaning day, and acharya, meaning activity or behavior. And this is designed to maintain and connect us with our circadian rhythm and our internal body clocks. In Ayurveda, the importance of consistent daily routine is of equal importance as to what we're eating. So it cannot be underestimated. And when there are these health imbalances present and someone comes for Ayurvedic counseling, we can't treat the disease without correcting diet and lifestyle together. And Ayurveda can only succeed with our own time, effort, devotion, and dedication. When we look at our life consists of the physical body, the sense organs, the mind, and the soul. So this means that our lifestyle efforts must be directed toward creating balance at these levels. And this is where our lifestyle and how we creatively direct our lives come into play. I read something in the book Ayurvedic Healing by David Frawley that I absolutely love and really have started implementing, not only in my own life, but also with the people that I work with. And in the book, he talks about the way that we think about daily routine. And he opens up about why he doesn't even like using the word routine. And this was so interesting because when I first started wellness coaching, I noticed this myself whenever I would talk to people about what I did, and I used the word routine a lot. You know, I would say things like, I help people build their daily routine, morning routines, evening routines, so much routine. And whenever I would use this word, maybe it was because I said it so much, but I always felt this like energy pushback, and I never understood why until I read this book. And David Frawley talks about why he doesn't like the word, and he doesn't like the word routine because it implies a rigid discipline that gets followed mechanically or automatically, and he also finds it misleading because the word routine almost implies that you're trying to impose some external pattern upon our resistant nature. And this is the part I really love, is when he says that our lifestyle is more of a matter of uncovering, through our sensitivity to life, the natural movement of our own being. When I read this, it was such an aha light bulb moment for me because, of course, you know, instead of thinking of routine as this rigid way of living, we must think of it as living creatively, because we must live creatively in order to be truly healthy and happy. And when I say creatively living, you know, creativity doesn't mean chaotic. Creativity establishes an order, but an order that still gives freedom at the same time, because it helps us essentially funnel our energies into all of the right places that are beneficial to us and not using them in the places and areas that aren't beneficial to us. I mean, look at the beauty, intelligence, and the order of the nature. Would you say nature is rigid? Nature's not rigid. Nature has its own flow and its own rhythm that keeps it in harmony. And so we also must discover and establish this right natural rhythm in our own lives. This is what maintains our harmony and consistency, but also allows us to remain flexible and respond to the challenges of our present moment. So you're probably thinking, yeah, this all sounds great, Jules, but this takes so much time, so much commitment, yada, yada, yada. And believe it or not, I hear this a lot. People are always, you know, I want coaching, but I don't know if I'm ready for the commitment. I know I need it, but I just don't know. And I always say that these natural rhythms that I'm talking about, this will eventually come as natural as your breath. Yes, absolutely. They require an effort to establish in the beginning, because we first need to fine-tune our instrument, this instrument that's our body. And we also have to counter a lot of the inertia that's created in our life when we're living out of balance. But soon they develop as this beautiful self-sustaining practice, and you can finally start swimming with the current instead of against it. Because what we do every day, this is what makes for who we are. And if you're one to believe in karma, then what we do every day determines not only who we are in this life, but also who we will become in the next life. And I just want to say that also, the way we act, this should never become a fault through self-righteousness or hypersensitivity. You know, natural harmony and adaptability, this is what's necessary. It's not the imposition of some artificial standard. We all have our own natural rhythm and flow, and that's going to look differently for everyone, and that's okay. That's what makes you unique. And, you know, Ayurveda's emphasis on connecting with ourselves and with nature, this has existed since millennia, and it's really wonderful to see, actually, a lot of Western scientists are now beginning to understand this importance of our body and our body staying connected with the rhythms of nature. Because when we disconnect from this circadian rhythm, this is known as chronodisruption. And this leads to so many health imbalances, like poor cognitive function, mood and sleep disorders, daytime sleepiness, reduced work performance, substance abuse, obesity, diabetes. I mean, the list literally goes on. And so let's get into what Ayurveda has to say. Ayurveda tells us that on any given day, there are two cycles of change that exist. We have the sun cycle and we have the moon cycle. And both of these cycles are connected with the doshas, vata, pitta, and kapha. So this brings us to the importance of creating daily rituals. These are what sets the tone for our entire day, bringing a sense of calm and well-being. It gives our body and mind and our soul the chance to ground, the chance to cleanse. And Dinacharya helps us understand the best time for our daily routines, and it also helps us maintain our doshas, our energies, and keep them in balance. And it also helps us maintain appropriate digestive fire, known as our Agni. And this helps with our discipline. It helps promote peace, happiness, and longevity. And I did go into detail about this in the circadian cycle episode that I did in season 2. But the doshas can be understood through the different times of the day. So from 6 to 10 a.m. and p.m., this is the kapha time of the day. 10 to 2 a.m. and p.m., this is the pitta time of the day. And then from 2 to 6 a.m. and p.m., this is the vata time of the day. So Ayurveda says that the morning from 6 to 10, this is the best part of the day to get your physical work complete. Why? because this is the kapha period of the morning. So the physical movement helps to shake off all of that heavy kapha grogginess that we feel in the morning. And this includes getting your workout in, having your breakfast, running your errands, dropping the kids at school. Do the things that require physical movement in the morning. And then you have the pitta time of the afternoon. This is when the sun is at the peak in the sky. This is also the best time to knock the things off your to-do list that require a lot of focus and attention, especially attention to detail. This is also the best time to have your lunch, which should be your biggest meal per Ayurveda. And you want to avoid strenuous workouts and activities during this time. Because if you're someone that loves to run outside, you know, the pitta time of the day when the sun is at the peak, it's not ideal because already there is so much heat present outside and inside the body. And then in the afternoon around 3 p.m. and onwards, this is ideal for planning, strategizing, any intuitive work, or planning for the next day. And this is because it's the vata period of the day. This is when we have naturally more of this creativity and mental energy. And so this goes on and on into the evening, early morning hours. You know, there's a reason why most of your vivid dreams happen between 2 and 5 a.m. or you have to wake up to use the restroom between those hours. That's because that's the vata time of the early morning. Vata, the principle of activity and movement. This is also traditionally why Ayurveda suggests waking up before 6 a.m. because you naturally have nature's energy on your side to help wake you. You have this vata energy, the principle of movement, to help get you up so that you can perform your personal practice in those gloriously quiet hours of the day. But don't worry about 5 a.m. wake-ups for now. Focus on what is attainable for you in this moment. Within this concept of planning your day, with these different energy influences in mind, we also consider each person's constitution, right? So vata predominant individuals, the most important thing for you, even though it's what you dislike the most, is sticking to the routine. This can actually prove to be one of the most difficult things for vata predominant individuals to achieve because vatas, they love to change their mind and they change their mind often. That's why vatas need to stick to their routine, stick to the diet, stick to their work habits, their exercise, their sleep. So for vatas, create a creative routine that will be greatly beneficial to you. And this is a tip that I even love giving to my clients, and I'm feeling really generous right now, so I'll share it with you. But for vata constitutions, create multiple daily routines. Like create 1 to 3 different options. That way, if you wake up and you're not feeling a particular routine, then you have another option to fall back on, or another option to fall back on if you don't like either of the two. It's just a little tip that works really, really great because it still gives you that variety, but it still gives you that structure and that order that vatas do really well on. So let's talk about pitta next. The primary consideration for pitta predominant individuals, I'm sure you can guess this one. It's cooling down. Pitta predominant individuals are born to be tidy and organized and married to their to-do lists. However, it's very easy for these individuals to oversee when they start to go overboard. You know, pitta predominant individuals, it's easy for them to be intense. It's easy for them to want control. And they need to remember that life is for living and it's meant to be enjoyed. And, you know, life's too short to have this overly competitive edge that only creates more stress in their body. And so letting go, finding areas in your life that you can let go will be very beneficial for pittas. Find things that you can do just for the fun of it. Find ways that you can let go, let loose, and just have fun. Next, for my kapha predominant individuals, the primary consideration for you is activity and variety. If you are someone who cannot stand any form of change, then you're most likely kapha predominant in your psychophysiological makeup. Kapha predominant individuals do best when they add a few variations to their daily and seasonal routines. For example, maybe one day or one season you're prioritizing your walking, or then it's running, and then maybe it's dancing, and then maybe it's playing tennis. You know, these are just examples, but because kaphas can get really stuck in their daily rhythm, having a lot of a assortment and variety from your day-to-day keeps you active, it keeps you flowing, and it keeps all your energies balanced. And then there are some other general suggestions too. For example, scraping your tongue after you brush your teeth. And this is a new practice that is gaining traction slowly in the Western world. But did you know that there are over 600 species of microbes in your mouth alone, including all the bacteria, all the fungi, all the microbes? You know, these are the microbes that lead to bad breath and they lead to toxins in your gut because, surprise, surprise, gut health is directly connected to our tongue. Our mouth, after all, is the first step of our digestive process. And if you're like, yeah, I brush my tongue, I don't need to tongue scrape. Well, let me tell you that researchers have actually proven that scraping your tongue every day is 75% more effective than brushing your tongue. This ancient yet increasingly popular 20-second habit literally helps to remove all the bad bacteria and all that gunk that builds up during your sleep and throughout the day. When our organs detox, when we're sleeping, all of this can get reflected on our tongue. So if you wake up in the morning and you look at your tongue and you see like white coating, you know that your digestion is impaired and that there's toxin buildup happening in your gut. If you look at your tongue and it's really red or maybe a little orange or brown, then that could signify a pitta or vata imbalance. So I know it sounds ridiculously simple to just scrape your tongue, but with this practice, you will see such a noticeable improvement in your breath. You'll feel like you have a cleaner mouth. It actually enhances your taste because it declogs your taste buds, and it also improves your digestion through the better absorption of nutrients. And then of course, you know, Ayurveda suggests things like meditating, having a yoga practice or any type of personal practice, proper exercise, eating a variety of raw and freshly cooked food, practicing truthfulness, honesty, equanimity, nonviolence. And so with all of this said, you're probably wondering, where do I even start? Something I tell those that I work with in my coaching program is that you have to pick one small thing and stick with it. Ayurveda believes that it takes one lunar cycle for a new habit to stick. And if you are a woman, then you can actually take extra advantage of this and you can sync your new habits with your menstrual cycle to maximize its effect and sustainability. So maybe you start with tongue scraping and you do it every morning for 28 days. And then you maintain tongue scraping and then maybe you integrate another new habit. Maybe it's 5 to 10 minutes of morning meditation, or maybe it's having a glass of warm water first thing when you wake up. There are so many ways and possibilities to create your creative dinacharya, your daily rituals and regimens that are aligned with your style of living. And this is exactly why I created a coaching program specifically tailored to help you build your daily habits with the wisdom of Ayurveda to guide you. This program meets you right where you are. Together, we will pinpoint daily, nightly, and seasonal regimens that suit your unique constitution, and together we'll implement gradual week-by-week shifts in your habits. We will delve into habit stacking, ritual creation, mindfulness exercises, meditation, and other self-study practices to help foster inner harmony, reduce stress, and boost your overall well-being. By the end of it, you will master the art of integrating these practices, and you will craft a lifestyle that is finely attuned to your mind, body, and soul. So if you have been struggling with having a balanced morning or evening ritual, you struggle with starting your day feeling excited and energized, or if you constantly feel tired and unable to unwind, then this program is designed for you. So if you're ready to call in all the daily rituals that align with your unique constitution, explore personalized approaches to enhance your energy levels, and you're committed to actively crafting a life that reflects your values and aspirations, then I will leave a link to the program with more information for you to check out. The program is currently filled for the month of May, but June still has spots available, so be sure to reserve yours before they fill up. This has actually been a very popular program since I launched, and for good reason, because dinacharya, the way we live our lives, is so, so important. I hope today's episode inspired you to have a new perspective on your lifestyle and to discover all of the beautiful possibilities that are within reach to cultivate more balance on a mind, body, and soul level. That is all for today. Thank you all so much for tuning in. And until next time, I will talk to you next Tuesday.